Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are going through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 2 of season 3. This one is called The Ensigns of Command. It was directed by Cliff Bohl, written by Melinda Snodgrass, and it aired back on October 2nd, 1989. We're almost out of the 80s. We're coming up. We're going to turn into the 90s. All very excited for children of the 90s to turn that page. Anyway, this one, Commander Data must convince a reluctant colony of more than 15,000 people to prepare for immediate evacuation, while Captain Picard attempts to negotiate a 3-week reprieve from aliens intent on colonizing the planet themselves in 4 days and wiping out any humans found there. Ensigns of Command, it's just going to be me talking about that one, so it's going to be probably a shorter episode, but we'll try to cover all our bases. So right after this break, let's get into the Ensigns of Command.
You see this? You have any idea what it is? Or what it means?
It is water. A substance composed of 2 atoms of hydrogen.
It's not water. It's blood and it's sweat. It's the result of 90 years of combined effort. This isn't a town. It's a monument to every man, woman, and child who's lived and died on Tau Cygna V.
Goshevin, you're talking nonsense.
Am I? My grandfather is buried on that mountain. He died in a rock slide surveying the route for this aqueduct. This colony exists because of his sacrifice, and the sacrifice of thousands of others. No, we are not leaving.
The Sheliak will not accept humans on their planet, and they will not hesitate to use force to remove you.
We'll not be bullied off our land, not by you, and not by the Sheliak.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. So, the Ensigns of Command. This was supposed to be, well, this was produced the first of the third season. I don't know why it didn't air first, but Evolution aired before this one, even though it was produced after. But this one, I think this kind of makes sense. This one felt a little bit more early season-ish than Evolution did to me. I feel like this one probably had a better story going than Evolution did, or at least it's the overall arc is better than Evolution's was, where Evolution sort of felt like it was disconnected a little bit at times. This one felt like it was totally a story. It was all of one piece. I feel like it was a little bit of season 2 in it. So I guess to break it down, what happens here, the Enterprise gets an automated message from these aliens called the Sheliak. They're telling us that the Federation needs to remove humans on this planet, Tau Cygni V, I think that's how you pronounce it, in 4 days. And the Sheliak are an aggressive non-humanoid species who are going to exterminate humans found in their path. And the only thing preventing this from already happening is that the Federation and the Sheliak have a treaty, and the Sheliak seem to be very by-the-book, very literal-minded people, because they obey every word of this treaty, which is over 500,000 words, as Troy, I think Troy tells Picard that. So anyway, they go to this planet, and Data beams down because it's a planet covered in radiation, so only Data can survive. He meets a group of people who don't want to leave, and Data says, you gotta leave, you're gonna get killed, and they say, no, we don't want to leave. And so Data tries to convince them, he fails. The leader of the planet's kind of a dick, and he tells Data that they're not leaving. He shoots him with a stun gun or something. Data wakes up and manages to convince the colonists of this planet that they have to go. He does that by destroying their aqueduct system and saying that the Sheliak are going to do even worse than that, and they should all leave if they want to survive. And up in the Enterprise, Picard is basically going through this treaty, trying to figure out a way to delay the Sheliak. He's very unsuccessful until he finds a loophole in the treaty where he can request arbitration from another species, and he chooses a species that is in apparently a hibernation stage for 6 months. So because the Sheliak are so literal and bound by the word of law, or the words of these treaties, they are forced to come to terms with Picard. They give him the 3 weeks he needs to get the colonists off the planet. Bada boom, bada bing, that's the end of the episode. So I think to break it down to 2 parts, I liked the Picard Enterprise Shellyak stuff a little bit better than the Data on the planet, I think. Even though I don't think that this Picard storyline could get any more Star Trek-y, particularly next-gen Star Trek-y, where he's basically debating a bureaucratic system and trying to find a loophole in this incredible bureaucracy to allow himself to get what he wants done. There's not a lot of action. The Shellyak are sort of positioned as a threat, but they're seen as a threat to the colonists. They're never seen as a threat to the Enterprise. And Picard's storyline is really all about just sort of delaying these people and then finding a loophole in this law. And he eventually does. And the loophole feels a little bit, I don't know if it's undeserved. It feels right. Like the resolution of the story makes sense and it kind of fits with what the Shellyak had been portrayed as. It does kind of feel like a Deus Ex Machina thing. It's not that bad because we're told that the treaty is probably going to have an answer, and it does. It's one of those things, I think, that you'd feel like they could run this document through the computer system and the computer would be smart enough to tell them what the best course of action is. That's kind of my main problem with it, which is fine in terms of the story. It doesn't really affect the story all that much. It's just one of those weird logic things where you'd figure they'd have an easier time instead of running into a wall over and over as they do when they try to just persuade the Shellyak on like an emotional level and the Shellyak don't really care. You think that they would just, their first course of action would be, well, someone needs to read this treaty. And since Data's gone, it might as well be the ship's computer. And we need to figure out a way around this situation. They eventually do. It probably leads to the best scene in the episode, which is Picard ignoring the Shellyak hail at the very end and sort of delaying, just trying to one-up them after they've been such aggravations to him. He decides not to answer their hails immediately. It's a funny scene. Stewart plays really well. Him looking at the sign is kind of funny, the plaque on the bridge, just sort of walking around with his hands behind his back. You know, no rush. Just let these aliens do what they're going to do, and he'll get to them in good time. I enjoyed that part of the story. There's really not a lot to say about it. It is what it is. This is really more of a Data episode, and most of it comes from the Data interactions with the colonists on the planet. So, I think my main problem with the Data on the planet thing is that it felt kind of like a high school play a little bit. The guest actors are pretty bad in this episode. The girl is okay. I think her name is Artie. But the guy who plays the leader, whose name is Devesian or something similar like that, where is he? He's not even listed. He's not listed in the guest actors. Well, whatever. The leader of the planet is a terrible actor. Everything's shot very wide. I noticed in Evolution that the over the shoulder shots were better. And they don't do that. This felt like much more of a season one or season two direction than Evolution did. Evolution felt a little bit more finesse in how the camera was moving and how they were shooting things. The lighting is still excellent in these season three episodes, but generally it's shot like a school play. It's a lot of people standing around, and you don't do actors a lot of big favors when you shoot that way. It's tough for them to get emotion across, and I don't know if this guy getting any close-ups would have helped, but he speaks very, very flatly, sort of bad actory in that, like, just sort of flat, overly gravitas way of speaking where you can't really relate to him. Comes across as kind of a dick. The other colonists are okay. They're both basically just there to say a couple lines and not get in the way and just provide bodies in the background. But I felt it was not particularly written well, the whole Data trying to convince things. It almost felt like Data had downloaded public speaking 101 when he started making his proclamations in front of the crowd in this one. He does it a couple times. He's just trying to do different, sort of appeals to them. The first one is an emotional one where he's like, you're all going to die, but you're going to die heroes, and trying to sort of reverse psychology them into not wanting to stay just by saying that their deaths are going to be valiant and all that stuff. And the children will die, but they'll be remembered as heroes and yada, yada, yada. And then he turns into basically a scene from Rambo or something where he manages to fix a phaser so that it works, because the phasers are inoperable on this planet because of the radiation. Same with the transporters and all that stuff. and he shoots some guards who are guarding the water fountain that the people use, or the aqueduct system, whatever they call it, which is the pride of this town. And then he shoots the aqueduct system and it destroys it. And then he says, you know, if I'm just one android with one gun, this is all the damage I can do. And the Shellyak are going to do worse. And they're not even going to beam down here. They're just going to shoot you from space and you're going to die. And that'll be it. And for some reason, that seems a more effective sort of convincing than the other one did, even though I don't think the speeches are all that different from each other. The first one's a little bit more subtle, so I don't know if the implication is that the colonists are just too stupid to understand what they're talking about. The colonists are kind of stupid. But I do feel like Data could have done a better job of just explaining what was going on in the first bit. He's a little bit vague when he's like, the Shellyak are going to come and they're going to not like it when you're here, and they will fight you. And the colonists are like, well, we'll fight back and all that stuff. And I think Data could have just done a much better job of explaining that the Shellyak are going to kill you. There is nothing you can do to stop it. And so what do you want to do? You want to stay here and die, or you want to come with me and we'll put you on another planet? You can rebuild your aqueduct system and dig up your grandfather who's buried on the mountain, or whatever that situation is. It felt a little bit blunt. If anything, I could say that this, I think I could tell if I hadn't seen the name that this was a Melinda Snodgrass script. I think I'm starting to pick up what her scripts are like. They're sort of grand in their statements. Just like Measure of Man has something like big to say. I don't know if they work particularly well. They're very theatrical and a little bit ham-fisted in what they're trying to do. I think it was the ham-fistedness of Data on the planet was tempered a little bit by the Data learning music, which is a much better metaphor for what's going on. But the ham-fistedness of the planet sort of overrides that. And even though Picard ends the show with talking to Data about how Data has learned and he's moving on into a... you know, he's combined two different styles and he's become creative and he came up with a creative way to fix things, which is a metaphor for how he came up with a creative way to get the colonists off the planet and all that stuff. I do feel that the Snodgrass scripts are big ideas that are done a little bit poorly. I think Measure of a Man is generally an overrated episode. I don't think this one is that great. Her other one was... I forget what our other script was. It was in season two. I feel like it was along the same lines, but someone will remind me of that. But I feel like that's what Snodgrass scripts are all about. So they're a little bit of a big idea that is not particularly executed well. Although I did appreciate learning the little tidbit that Chief O'Brien plays the cello and is apparently quite a master cellist. Yo-Yo Ma of the 25th century, 24th, whatever we're in now. I appreciated that. The other thing I thought was kind of just some random observations now, I guess. The other thing was that was interesting was this is probably the harshest that Command has ever been to engineering and Data. Riker has that scene where Data is complaining that he doesn't know what to do and he can't convince them. And Riker gives him pretty harshly, just says, use that big positronic brain of yours and come up with something to do. It makes sense. I'm not saying that it's out of character for Riker to do, but it's the first time we've really seen the commanders, including Picard and Riker, really lay into underlings or try to talk to them in a way that's aggressive to try to get the job done. Picard also does it with the running thing in this one is that Geordi is trying to fix the transporter so that they can beam the colonists up. And he actually doesn't succeed in fixing the transporter. It's kind of a nice about face on the whole, you know, we'll use the magic transporter to save the episode. They don't do it. Geordi can never actually get that job done and he fails by the end of it. But Picard has a, the runner is basically just Geordi being unable to get this done and Picard coming in and constantly harassing him, saying like, Mr. Ford, you know, I need this thing working. And them going, well, that's what the captain does. That's his prerogative. And it was the most aggressive command that I've seen with the lower officers. I thought that was interesting. It's just something I don't think I've ever seen in first or second seasons. And it makes sense. I don't think that it was the wrong thing to do in this one, but it does. It was certainly jarring, I guess, would be the way to describe it. Anything else here? I mentioned my high school play. I mean, are Picard and Beverly dating now? Is that the thing that's going on? They're going to see music, together. They seem to be spending quite a bit of time. I guess the show is reintroducing us to Dr. Crusher after she's been gone for so long. But, I sense a little bit of fireworks, and I did appreciate the scene where Picard gets called away and Data notices him leaving, thinking that he's leaving because his playing is terrible, when actually he's just leaving because the Shellyak are about to exterminate 15,000 people. I don't really have much else to say about this one. I don't think it's a great episode. I don't think it's really, I think it's like slightly below average, probably would be the way I would describe it. It felt a little bit old. It's, you know, I appreciate the way that they ended it. The overall narrative arc makes a lot of sense. I just don't know how satisfying it was in the long term. I feel like it could have been pumped up a couple bits of emotion. It's sort of flat, and the stakes are high, and which makes the emotions seeming flat a little bit weird. I think the emotions on the Shellyak stuff was a little bit better. I guess it's tough because Data obviously isn't going to show any emotions. So that makes that weird. But the weakness of the colonist actors, I think, played a part. And also that they're not particularly scripted well and that they don't have a great reason to want to stay. They haven't been there that long. You know, they've only been there for 90 years, which is a long time. But you still feel that it's strange that they're so attached. And they also act like they can't remember what things were like before that. And 90 years does not seem like it was that long a time to forget where everyone came from. Your parents would still be alive when you were born, and then you'd just be existing like that. I'm not too sure.
Pursuant to paragraph 1290, I hereby formally request third-party arbitration of our dispute.
You have the right.
Furthermore, pursuant to subsection D3, I name the Grisellas to arbitrate.
Grisellas?
Unfortunately, they are currently in their hibernation cycle. However, they will awaken in 6 months, at which time we can get this matter settled. Now, do you want to wait? Or give me my 3 weeks?
Absurd. We carry the membership. We can brook no delay.
Then I hereby declare this treaty in abeyance.
Wait. Negotiation is permissible.
You enjoyed that.
You're damned right.
Captain, they are hailing us. Sir? Screen.
You may have your 3 weeks, Picard of the Enterprise.
Thank you.
So let's get to the rating for this one. I think I'm going to give this one a 2 out of 5. The 2 out of 5 seems to be fair. I was hesitating and thinking maybe it would be a 3. I think it's a 2. I wasn't too crazy about it. I think it has a couple problems of just the script not carrying through on what it's talking about well enough. Not really that exciting of an episode, even though it's kind of interesting what they do with Data. You know, sort of focusing in on the fact that he is an android, he doesn't have feelings, even though everyone is insisting that he has feelings, which I do want to talk about. I'm not going to talk about that sort of characterization with myself. I'll wait until someone else is on here and bring that up, but I want to get into that because I do think it's weird and understandable for the show, but it's still strange that people are continuing to insist that Data has emotions. I can understand the narrative drive to do that. It seems strange in hindsight now that I'm going through and watching all the episodes. But yeah, I'd give it a 2. I don't think it's a very exciting episode. It's a little bit dull. It's very Star Trek-y. You know, just with the bureaucracy and convincing colonists to do something and sort of a minor debate about what it means to, you know, leave a place where you want to stay and what it takes to convince people to do things and what it takes to be creative and, you know, is artificial intelligence creative and all that stuff. So it's a very Star Trek-y episode. I can see people liking this one, which would be interesting. My rating for this one, I think, is more personal than anything. I'm not crazy about it, but I can understand people liking it. I think the AV Club and Tor.com were much more positive about it than I was. Tor gave it a 7 out of 10. I think AV Club gave it a B+, which I can appreciate. I think there's problems that just hold me back from really enjoying this one. And it's a strong two. We'll call it that. But I will give it a 2 out of 5. So that's it. Short one. That's only about, 15 minutes, something like that. But anyway, thank you guys for listening. If you enjoyed the content, watching on YouTube, like or comments, appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating and a review is always appreciated. It helps me get the podcast out there. Thank you for listening, guys. I'm going to be back next time with the Survivors. I think I'm going to have a crew of people with me to talk about that one. One of my favorites. I will, I'll tip my hat to that and say the Survivors is underrated, in my opinion. I really enjoy that. So I'm looking forward to talking about that one. Ensigns of Command, not so much. 2 out of 5. Thank you guys for listening, and I will see you next time.